Well, we fought, and when you fight, sometimes you lose. And we definitely got beat up tonight at our branch meeting. It is 11:08 p.m. Pacific time as Michael and I record this. Michael is here with me. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was a little disappointing night, but there were some good things.
Dude, what the fuck were those?
That was that we still had more of our people there than they had their own people.
Well, yeah, in the audience, I guess that's true. All right, so let me give you guys the short version of what happened, and then we'll get into it. Mm-hmm. Because, holy shit. All right, so.
Which I kind of warned Alan that that might happen.
Yeah.
And then it happened.
And my buddy Rich warned me about it, too, that I am too much of a Pollyanna, and my wife even, mm-hmm. you know, and you don't know what people are capable of because they're motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
So. First I had an Article 11 appeal about being removed as a steward, and I was appealing the president's decision to remove me as a steward. And I got up there at the beginning of the meeting, and he held to his position that he didn't even make a decision to remove me as a steward. It happened automatically because stewards who are appointed, alternate stewards, have a 3-year term. And that is nowhere in the Constitution. That is not a real thing. So that's what I was appealing. And he held to that position the entire time. And then finally, I still made my motion for the branch to vote. And I was shocked that the branch voted pretty soundly against my appeal. Now, we'll get into this more in a little bit, but these are the broad strokes. All right? Go ahead.
So, you know, which those happen where the appeals, we kind of know how that's going to be. And
I didn't know. Dude, I thought for sure I'd win that easily. But we'll get into it more in a minute.
But you didn't realize that I'm sorry.
Dad, fuck it. Who cares?
Okay. Anyway, our branch president and his crew brought their goons.
Yeah, you could call it that. The meeting was stacked with incumbent supporters.
Right.
With the good old boys and the good old boy
network. And so I counted their people to count it to my people. We actually had more than them.
In the audience.
In the audience. But unfortunately, there were more of them than us.
Right. Yeah, when you include the branch officers, the cronies, essentially.
There were 13 more of them.
Yeah. So we'll get into that, because the next thing that came up was the appeal of the branch election,
mm-hmm.
where the procedure is that the branch already made their decision, as you guys know, you've been following along, and the branch agreed that we were going to rerun the election all the way back to nominations. So the secretary gets up there and starts reading appeals, and he says he has 4 appeals, which surprised me. I thought it was just going to be one, and it was going to be from the president,
mm-hmm.
but they're cleverer than that. Credit where credit is due. Because
nothing was from the president.
No, nothing was from the president. There were 4 appeals from good old boys,
mm-hmm.
not from the president.
Oh, wait. Didn't one of them said that you called him old because you said good old boys?
Yeah, because we said he was 80, and it turns out he's only 78. So, dude, I'm willing to set the record straight. The goodest, mm-hmm. oldest boy, he's only 78.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still spry. Mm-hmm. And, dude, he got the better of us tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So, we hear these 4.
He got the better of us, but we found that he is a true liar.
Oh, dude. No integrity. Like, and we'll get 0. Into it, dude. You're in for a fucking episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, he reads these 4 appeals, one from the new executive vice president, one from himself, the secretary, one from the treasurer, who is the former election chair, and one from the sergeant at arms. So all 4 of them put in appeals. Now, in anticipation of this, you know, they put their appeals in, and then the branch has 20 days to respond and essentially reply to those appeals. Because remember, the branch voted to redo the whole election.
Just real quick. Yeah. I know this is kind of stretching, and I've heard some rumors that I heard that our sergeant of arms is a clerk.
He is a clerk, yeah. Okay. But okay.
All right.
So anyway, the branch then has 20 days to file its written response. And there's been this kind of question of who's going to write that response, because, you know, the branch will have to decide. And, well, it turns out that there were these four appeals from not the president. And then who's going to write the response to those four appeals and give the opposing viewpoint? Michael, who's going to write it?
That would probably be our branch president, because his name was not on any of those. So he's
so
the only one that was left out. So he's going to put it together.
Dude, I tried to raise the... We'll get into this deeper as it goes along. But like, dude, wait
a minute. They cut you down everywhere they went. And says, and then they hit the hammer saying, you're not allowed to talk. And this went on to somebody else.
Dude.
That happened at least six times tonight.
It was pretty amazing.
They did everything in their part to make sure we couldn't talk.
So the very person whose appeal they're looking to go back to, because it was the president's appeal that, you know, just do the election, not the nominations, just do the voting. And now he's going to be writing the response to the appeals that say we should just do the election, not the nomination.
Without the branch's...
Without the branch's consent. The branch was not consulted, because that was the point that I raised, was, and wait a minute.
So they're going to get... appeals committees are going to get only their version without anybody else's version.
That's exactly right. Only one side of the story. Mm-hmm. And the very people who wrote that appeal shut out of the process.
Right.
All right. And then we go on to me, that's the biggest travesty of the night. We're going to spend some time on it.
Go ahead. No, I don't think that's the biggest travesty of the night, but it's just part of it.
We're
just
fixing to get to the next one.
It's just one of them.
Yeah. So the next part is that there were all these charges floating around that technically Michael, but a bunch of people had charges against the election chair for all the improprieties in the election. And then the election chair filed retaliatory charges against us for talking about him on the podcast. And we got a letter yesterday. Let's go ahead and read the letter now. All right. So I was ready for this episode to be a victory lap, because I talked to a national officer about what's going on in our branch and how the processes are broken. And, you know, like that episode I had about how Article 10 and Article 11, these are your rights, but then what do you do when those don't work? And the national officer said, dude, you have to take it to Renfro and ask for a presidential ruling. So that's what I did. I wrote to Renfro. You know what, dude? This is kind of useless without the context. All right, here we go. President Renfro, I am writing because Branch 2502 in Las Vegas is facing serious issues. And our internal processes for addressing these issues, Article 11 and Article 10, are being undermined by our branch officers. I seek your assistance in getting these matters resolved. 1. Our branch held elections in November of 2024. The elections were marred by significant improprieties. After the election was completed, I immediately filed an appeal to the election committee, which they sustained, ordering an entirely new election, including notifications and nominations. This decision was not announced to the branch in any way. Instead, the decision was sent to the branch secretary, redacted, who gave it to, not that that mattered, anyway, who gave it to select members of the executive board. At that point, the branch president, redacted, filed an appeal to the election committee's decision, which was decided upon by the executive board. No other members of Branch 2502 were given an opportunity to file an appeal at this stage. The executive board sustained redacted's appeal, ordering a new election without a new notification and nomination process. Unlike the election committee's decision, the decision of the executive board was widely distributed by branch officers and was read at the December general membership meeting. I filed an appeal of this decision to the branch, and my appeal was sustained at the January 9th, 2025 general membership meeting. Three other members also filed an appeal against the executive board's decision, but only my appeal was allowed to be heard at the meeting. The branch voted to completely rerun the election, including nominations. Further, they voted to require a national-level officer to oversee the rerun to prevent a repeat of the initial improprieties. Mike, grab the... you can read the response, because it'll make more sense. Just do it one by one. Brother Redacted has not acted upon the express will of Branch 2502. To this day, the process of rerunning our election has not begun. Brother Redacted wrote in an email dated January 31st, 2025, quote, "No word on as to when Branch 2502 election process will begin or if it will begin," end quote. I am asking for a presidential ruling ordering Brother Redacted to abide by the will of Branch 2502 and conduct the rerun election. So what was President Renfro's response?
Previous rulings have held that a rerun election may be conducted when the appeal process has been exhausted at the branch level.
Right, which ours has.
Which ours has.
Yes.
Okay. The branch decisions remain subject to appeal to the National Committee on Appeals. In this case, there is an ongoing dispute over whether the rerun election should encompass new nominations. It is my understanding that the dispute will be the subject of an appeal to the committee. If the appeal were to be sustained, the branch executive board's decision to conduct the rerun without new nominations may be then reinstated. Okay? In a similar situation, the rulings have recognized
that... Hold on. I want to stop there because that first paragraph is basically just background. Mm-hmm. Right? It's basically just saying this is what's happened so far. Mm-hmm. There's an election and there's appeals.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Now we get to
the decision. And if the appeal is won, then they can reinstate saying there's no more nominations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
In a similar situation, the rulings have recognized that the branch may elect to defer the rerun until the time to appeal the National Committee has expired, or if an appeal is submitted, until the National Committee issues its decision. So accordingly, I have advised Brother Peter that branch 2502 may defer implementing the decision to hold new nominations until the Committee on Appeals issues the decision. So,
yep.
From what I gathered from reading that, is that if for it to be deferred and go on longer process on the rerun because somebody filed an appeal, that means the branch gets to elect to vote and decide on if it's going to be delayed any longer.
The branch decides.
Branch decides.
Right. Renfro writes that he instructed Brother Redacted that the branch can elect to delay the election. That's not what happened.
He chose to delay the re-election by himself.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So that's the first part of the ruling. All right. Okay. And then we get to the second part. So let me read what I wrote to bring this up. Number two. There is an extensive list of improprieties in our 2024 election, which I will not detail here. These improprieties caused Article 10 charges to be brought against Redacted, the election chair, and he's also a trustee on the Redacted slate. Brother Redacted, it is elected, either conducted numerous election rule violations or allowed such election violations to occur. Brother Redacted refused to answer questions about these improprieties, so Michael Brazemley, candidate for branch president, brought Article 10 charges against Brother Redacted. It was hoped that these charges would compel Brother Redacted to answer questions about what happened during our election. These charges were filed in October, well in advance of our November general meeting. Our branch secretary, the goodest oldest boy, failed to serve these branches to Brother Redacted, which meant they weren't heard at the November meeting, and the investigation could not begin. Further, Brother Redacted resigned from his position as election chair and did not attend the November meeting. The charges were served and presented at our December meeting. At that same meeting, Redacted served retaliatory charges against Michael Brazemley and myself for defamation, alleging that we talked about him on a podcast. We did talk about Brother Redacted. However, as you are no doubt aware, criticism of union officers is legally protected speech, and NALC policy and labor law prohibits any threat of punishment for engaging in such protected activities. Brother Redacted and President Redacted were made aware of this protection, and the charges against us were presented anyway. Two committees to investigate these competing sets of charges were appointed at the December meeting. Throughout December, the committee did not receive instructions from Redacted about how to proceed. In an email, I asked President Redacted about the progress of the charges, and he responded, quote, "I have nothing to do with how the committee operates. Ask them." I asked for their contact information, and President Redacted did not respond. At the end of December, Branch Secretary Goodest Oldest Boy informed me that he had made the unilateral decision to postpone the charge procedure until the February meeting. This is not the purview of the branch secretary. Article 10 grants that right to the branch by motion at the next meeting. I had to file an Article 11 appeal of this unlawful action to President Redacted. He responded to my appeal, quote, "I agree with the decision, appeal denied," end quote. I then took my Article 11 appeal to the branch, where it was decided by vote to delay the committee's investigation and report until February. In the meantime, neither Brother Redacted nor President Redacted had been willing to answer questions about the improprieties in the election. Redacted, as branch president, has general supervisory authority and therefore has the responsibility to ensure that the committees do their job. I have asked President Redacted in writing what he has done to ensure the investigations are completed. He will not respond. To this date, with February general meeting only days away, neither committee has taken any action. This has allowed redacted to continue evading questions about his role in our election and the numerous procedural requirements that were not followed. And then I essentially make a similar case about redacted's charges against us. And then I am asking for a presidential ruling to order the goodest oldest boy in his capacity as branch secretary to serve the charges against President Redacted and to order. Oh, because there were also. Oh, I'm sorry. There were two sets of asks here. One is I'm asking for a presidential ruling to order the investigations to take place and to order Redacted to answer the branch's questions about the conduct of our election. And then there's also the charges against Michael and me, which were similarly not investigated. And I lay that out. I'm asking for a presidential ruling. Oh, no, I take it back. This is about the charges that Michael filed and one other person against our branch president. And then the secretary refused to file the charges. Okay. Go ahead.
You're just reading what you sent.
What I wrote. Right.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
So
that's my letter.
Yeah.
Yep.
So here's a decision from Brian Renfro, our national president. That Ellen has requested to get, you know, his decision on. He put on here, the facts set forth in your email have persuaded me that some level of scrutiny by the National Union is warranted to ensure that all the various charges are investigated. The various charges are investigated. Impartially.
Right. Which is exactly what I asked for in my letter. Yeah.
And in full compliance of Article 10, therefore by copy of this letter, I am directing National Business Agent Keisha Lewis or her designee to investigate the situation and provide whatever assistance the branch may require. Now, when they say branch, that means for everybody that's at the branch, not just our president, okay, or our secretary,
right?
But in accordance with the authority under Article 9, Section 1 of the NALC Constitution, I'm authorizing Sister Lewis, which is our national business agent, or her designee to appoint the members of one or more of the committees, because there's three charges that I know of, or three people,
yeah,
and they could be three different committees minimum, okay. If she believes that is the best interest of the branch for her to do so, the committees, not one,
right,
committees may include disinterested members from other branches. Time limits may be extended to the extent necessary to complete the process of investigating the pending charges.
Okay.
They did not extend it. They forced it up on us.
So there were pending charges. That's where we get to part three of this meeting.
And then final part is, I hope that this letter addresses your concerns at least in part.
There you go.
So and basically...
It did address my concerns.
Yeah.
So if the charges need to be extended in order for a proper investigation to be done, then that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a proper investigation is laid out in Article 10 and what that is. So when we get to the meeting... The goodest oldest boy informs us what?
Informs us that we are being the charge will be read today, and they're going to go on with the charges and so forth for both me and Ellen, in which they did in the meeting. Okay. Now, in the meantime, we put forth many, many times reminding the secretary, reminding the president that we got a letter from our national president that it has to be investigated by Keisha Lewis over and over and over. And they kept going with the charges. And they basically told us that if we don't go with the charges, then we're going to just go with you guys can't even defend yourself. And we're going to file the charges anyway. Yeah. So we had no choice but to go forth because they are persuading everybody else that they're going to file the charges and will not give us any time to defend ourselves.
Right. Yeah, so we have this letter from Renfro saying that this process can be extended. And we know that no investigation has been done.
Mm-hmm.
And we were told, tough shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess let's get into this.
Yeah.
All right. So at the beginning of the meeting, that when the goodest oldest boy tells us that, hey, get ready for your charges, we did not, like, I have this supercut of the stuff that we said in the episode in question in the charges where we talked about the election chair. And I didn't bring it because I got this letter from Renfro that says, hey, you know, we'll extend the time and make sure proper investigation is done. And I know proper investigation was not done. So, all right, no problem. We're good to go. And secretary tells us, tough shit.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting charged.
Right.
And you best be ready.
And then I also reminded him, I said, hey, I filed our election chair the charge before this.
Yeah.
How is it that we going before him?
Yeah. Well, it's because the committee that was investigating us, which apparently was just one person,
mm-hmm.
He apparently, allegedly, did an investigation. And how the fuck does he do an investigation without even talking to us? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so we know, hold on, I'm on fire now. We know this is fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a procedure in Article 10, and an investigation includes talking to the parties.
That's you been know, charged.
Yeah, the charged parties, we're going to explain what happened. We're going to do our case. We have a right to see the evidence and to cross-examine and all this stuff. None of that happened. Not a fucking bit of it.
Zero.
Yeah. And when I asked the goddamn president about it, he doesn't even respond.
Mm-hmm.
And except to tell me that I should contact the people myself. Great. Give me their fucking numbers. And no, he doesn't do that either.
Mm-hmm.
So we're left with literally no way to defend ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
No way to address
these
charges.
And a threat saying that if we don't defend on these charges today, that then they're going to make a decision today without our defense.
Right. Yeah. So we can either defend ourselves or not, but we're getting this resolved today without fucking due process.
And even though they're like, well, you're going to basically saying we have to follow what Paul is saying. Yeah, there is our president not following what our national president is saying.
Yeah. So here we have, and their defense later was that, oh, what the president wrote only refers to the charges against the election chair.
That's not what it says. Various charges.
Yeah, exactly. And I laid out those charges in my letter to Renfro.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All right. So here is the actual process in Article 10. The president, or if the president be the person against whom charges are made, the vice president shall then appoint a committee of 3 disinterested members, which we had back in November. 3 disinterested members, who shall forthwith summon the parties, hear and take down or cause to be taken down or recorded the testimony and or documentary evidence presented. Michael, were you forthwith summoned?
Nope, never.
That's right. We were never fucking contacted.
We did not get any of our due process.
No. All right, so that's the beginning. It shall be the duty of the committee to find the true facts and report to the branch. Oh, the committee did that, or the one dude did come up and report to the branch.
He didn't find true facts. Only one fact is, I listened to the podcast and you guys were wrong.
Yeah, we did talk shit about the election chair, which is true. We did. We don't deny that.
We're not denying it.
All right.
We did it.
Now here's the next part of Article 10. The parties are entitled to be heard by the committee. Michael, did you get heard by the committee?
Nope.
Me neither. Fuck that. To present evidence. Michael, did you get to present evidence to the committee? Nope. Me neither. Fuck that. And to cross-examine all witnesses who make statements to the committee. How many people did you cross-examine?
Zero.
Me
not
too.
Even person that's charging us for the...
Yep.
For the
defamation.
Mm-hmm.
We never got the opportunity to do any of this.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Just for a reminder, the reason that we charged our election chair is because he allowed our president to order the ballot. So we wanted to know what the hell that was.
Yeah, I mean, we've had questions this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And still, they're not being answered.
Mm-hmm. They still have not answered it.
So that's the process. And not unlike what I just said to you guys, I got up there and said that to the branch.
Mm-hmm.
That this is a fucking kangaroo court.
Mm-hmm.
There's no due process. And this is a sham.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have these steps that we're supposed to follow to make sure that we're treated fairly. And none of that happened. Not a single part of that happened. How can you possibly say that this is a fair process when we were giving no opportunity to do the rights that we are guaranteed in Article 10.
Okay. Now, the rights also in our NALC.org and our LMRDA site also says that we have the freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Okay. We reminded the whole branch that we are doing as a freedom of speech and we have the right to have a freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And the most disappointing part is that when they were voting, 44, that of course, 13 of them were the e-board.
Yeah. We lost 44 to 33.
Yeah. And they voted saying that we cannot have freedom of speech in our branch.
Yeah. So, when I was up there giving them hell, you know, I'm like, hey, the NALC policy, I read right from the fucking NALC.org website that we have the right to free speech.
Mm-hmm.
And then just below that on the NALC website says that we are immune from discipline for engaging in any LMRDA protected activity.
And that was, that actually says it's forbidden by the officers to do that.
That is correct. It is forbidden. And they fucking did it anyway.
Right.
And the LMRDA specifically protects criticism of union officers.
Mm-hmm.
So we were engaging in LMRDA protected activity. No,
no. Criticism that we can criticize.
Yeah, we're allowed to criticize. Right. That is part of our free speech. They are not allowed to
criticize.
Yeah, that's part of our free speech. And dude, so it's time to vote. Like Michael gave him hell. I gave him hell.
Yeah. I talked about our union, why our union exists. Because our union exists because of freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. That our union exists. Okay. I actually mentioned that, saying that, hey, you know, when we fight for our union, we want to do a strike, we want to do anything, we can actually yell out and say whatever we want to yell out and be a union. That is what a union does.
Right. And when that motherfucker, the goodest oldest boy, came up to us before the meeting and is telling us that we're about to get fucking railroaded.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, do you think that this is due process? And that goddamn coward wouldn't answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, I'm not the president. Oh, this is the first fucking time in 3 months that you've thought you're not
the president. And you know what I asked him? You're the secretary and you should know the rules.
Yeah.
Aren't you supposed to tell the president what the rules are?
Right. So we get now to the vote, and the deal is, in Article 10, there's no debate. Mm-hmm. You just go directly from our defense to the vote. And that's the way it should have gone. But instead, we didn't go directly to the vote. What happened instead? Do you remember? I'll say it.
Yeah, go say it.
They reread the charges against us.
Mm-hmm.
So Article 10 is set up for us to have the last word.
The reason they reread it is because I actually said, there is no charge.
Yeah.
There is nothing in the bylaws or in the Constitution that we're violating.
So that's part
of they decided to read the charge.
Right. And this is why we're supposed to be prepared to be able to make our defense and all this shit, because that was something we could have brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, by the way, please notice they don't cite any fucking rules in the charge against us.
Yeah. All they said, the rules that we're violating is bylaws and Constitution, but they could not say a single article that we're violating.
Exactly. All they cite was the preamble to the Constitution and the preamble to the bylaws, which are not enforceable provisions.
Right.
They're not rules.
They did not have any violations at all.
But Michael, the truth is, we got fucking railroaded.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could have been up there like Clarence goddamn Darrow making an argument. And I did a pretty goddamn good job.
Oh, I know. I did too.
Yeah. And you did too. And it wouldn't have swayed a single vote.
Why would that be?
Because they stacked the house against us.
They brought all their friends.
Yeah.
No matter what we said, they thought that we were lying because they were told that we were talking about just lies.
Dude.
And so they believed every single word. And this is exactly where Corey Walton says that they're a bunch of hyena sheep, where they only listen to what they say and not actually see for themselves with their own eyes.
Right. And the numbers in the audience, you know, if you take away the executive board, we would have won 33-31.
Yep, 33-31.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't take away the executive board.
Mm-hmm.
They voted as a block. And, dude, it is disappointing to say the least. So we got found guilty.
So anyway, because this was already going after a couple hours, there were about four people that was for us already left because it was getting so late.
Yeah, it happens. You know, maybe people on the other side left too. I don't know. But this is... Dear listener, this is why it's important to go to your branch meeting. Because, like, if you were just there as a passive observer, you could be like, whoa, these people are getting royally fucked.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, yes, I did talk to a carrier before I left because Alan quickly left to get this set up.
Right.
And I talked to a carrier, and she said that this is the first time she's ever been at this meeting. And she said that she could not believe the thing that was going on. And she actually came out to me, and she goes, wow, your podcast might be so good that they're doing everything to stop it. I must go to your site and watch, listen to it.
Oh, we're going to get a spike.
So you know who I'm talking about, because if you're, because you said, I told you we were doing the podcast.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about you.
Yep. I got asked about it too and shared the link to the podcast. Uh-huh. And because, you know, people were there just to watch what was going on, or just like normal disinterested people. Mm-hmm. They couldn't believe what the fuck they were seeing.
I actually had one of the CCAs from my station, and I asked her to come in to the meeting. Right. I did not say to her to vote for me. I did not say anything. I told her just come to the meeting.
Right.
And then when I sent her later when she left, I said, thank you for coming. That's all I said.
Right.
And she basically said she could not believe the now that she's seeing how our Noonan branch is, she cannot believe how it is.
Yeah, and it's corrupt.
And she said that I can't believe I'm in this part of the union. That right there is so bad, because of them is showing our new members that our branch does not support all members.
Yeah, and they don't give a fuck about due process.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Fairness, any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or basic civil rights.
Right.
Yep. So now we get to, we've been found guilty. Mm-hmm. What happens next? The penalty phase.
Right.
And so,
what did Ken want?
He wanted 6 months suspension. Oh, sorry. Suspension.
That was our thing. Redacted. They were charged because I mentioned his name. But in reality, the person that actually really mentioned the name of the charge was actually our branch president in a general meeting.
That's true. None of that would have mattered to the voters.
No.
So he comes up and he suggests 6 months suspension from the union.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidentally,
that's this how the re-election.
Yeah, during the re-election time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's all related.
So one of the members said, hey, by the way, does that mean that they are trying to kick him out from doing the re-election? Of course, our branch goes, of course. And then everybody's like, that's BS. Because then you're looks like you're trying to fix the election.
Of course it does. Uh-huh. Yeah, of course
it does. And I didn't say that. Somebody else said it.
Yeah, somebody else said it. Yeah, because at that point, like, dude, we'd already blown our load. Mm-hmm. You know, we said all the stuff that we were going to say. Mm-hmm. We'd have just been rehashing it. But then other people get up and, to their credit, defended us admirably.
Mm-hmm. Well, so some people that did not defend us, actually, one of them actually came up and says, that 6 month penalty is ridiculous. It sounds terrible.
Right.
Yeah. Why? You know, I don't understand why you guys are punishing this hard.
Even somebody who voted to find us guilty thought that the 6 months was excessive.
Right.
And that's an interesting thing, because there's the question of, dude, I mean, for real, anybody with open eyes can see we were railroaded. There's no question about it, including the goodest oldest boy who wouldn't answer when I said, do you think this is a fair process?
So just to go real quick. Yeah. He told, so basically, he told our secretary told us the investigation committee basically did not talk to us, investigate us, right?
Right.
And then later on, when we charged our president, he goes, yeah, now the investigators, they have to talk to our president and get that information.
We'll get to that.
Oh, it was clear as the day. They knew the rules, but didn't tell the committee what the rules were.
I really want you to talk about what you learned in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to, like, what's our punishment going to be? And, dude, who fucking knows how it's going to go?
Right.
And then a shop steward who is a rules guy, he's looking through Robert's Rules of Order. And he sees this. Go ahead.
Before we continue that
part. Yeah, yeah, by all means.
One of the members actually talked about that. Hey, there's a lot of us here are stewards.
Yeah.
Okay? And in being that steward, we know that any discipline process, we go with the discussion, letter warning, 7 day, and so
on. Right, it's progressive. Yes,
obviously, we're not managers or whatever, and employees in that matter. But she mentioned that, you know, if this is that we're supposed to teach them a lesson, the first thing we should do is make sure that this is a discussion to see if they'll learn that lesson.
Yeah.
Okay. Of course, the lesson is we can't have a freedom of speech, but but either way, she's trying to go.
You can see how well we learned that lesson.
Yeah. and so she was trying to say, hey, by the way, this charge is extremely more than what a management gets.
Right. Right. And she also brought up the great point that this charge would be procedurally defective and would be thrown out on that grounds. The same union that's fucking persecuting us would throw out every single discipline mm-hmm. that was run this way as right. procedurally defective.
Yep.
Was a thorough investigation completed?
No.
Fuck no.
Hell no.
No investigation was completed.
Zero.
Yeah.
Except I listened to the podcast and I didn't like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not an investigation.
No, it's not.
Okay. So, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
He has the right for his own opinion.
He does.
Yeah.
Dude, and the branch voted, right? I'm not going to say they didn't vote.
And this whole thing that we're doing in the podcast right now,
yeah,
and all the things that we're saying, it is our opinion.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair. Right. And it's right in the disclaimer of the podcast, mm-hmm. like right in the description. All thoughts are inherently my own, you know, and my guess and whatever. Yeah, it's all in mm-hmm. there. So.
So if I hurt your feelings, I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings, but come on.
Yeah.
If you're a branch officer, you should have the balls to take it.
Dude. And on top of that. Is this what our branch officers think fairness and process looks like?
Dude. Well, that's obvious. They think that.
These are the people in charge of defending our rights. And this is what they think rights look like.
Well, maybe that's why our settlements are horrible, because they want to work with the side of management because they want to be just like them.
It's crazy. This is what we're up against.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why, because we're speaking out, that's why this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So this steward is looking through Robert's Rules of Order, and he sees that it's possible for the work of the branch or the body to be done just by a committee. Like any task that you have to do, you can put it to a committee.
Basically, filing a motion. Yeah,
right. You can file a motion to have like, okay, whatever this business is, it's going to be handled by a committee. We're going to appoint a committee.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes a motion that instead of the branch, he says, you know, everybody's really heated right now. Everybody's fired up. And so instead of us flying off half-cocked, because what we're doing might actually be illegal, and he said that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going off half-cocked, maybe we should have a committee of people outside the branch to decide what the punishment should be.
And then, if there is what he said.
Yeah,
if there's any
punishment at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll make their report at the next branch meeting. You know, they'll make their decision and look at it at the next branch meeting.
Now, our branch president says we have to do that. We have to get a hold of our business agent.
Right.
So I don't know. Does he have something with the business agent? Because he was mentioning her name a lot.
Well, the person who made the motion said that he would get in touch with the business agent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so,
like, he was not worried what she's going to make a decision on.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, dude, the business agent's supposed to be involved in this anyway, according to the letter from Renfro.
Yeah.
And, dude, it's fucking wild.
And it says it has to be impartial.
Yeah, so he makes this motion. Mm-hmm. It gets debated back and forth for a while.
For like an hour.
Executive board actually left the room for a while to mm-hmm. actually like go through Robert's rules and make sure this is proper.
Mm-hmm.
And it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the branch votes on that motion to let the committee handle it. And it passed pretty much unanimously.
Because everybody said yay, and and I didn't hear anybody say no.
That might have been one no. I don't think there was any, though.
Maybe there was a grumble.
It was
from somebody from the
officers. And so what's interesting about this from a psychological perspective is, you know, these people were willing to railroad us and find us guilty. But then to actually punish us puts blood on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a little more squeamish about that. Mm-hmm. And so the opportunity for the blood to be on somebody else's hands, mm-hmm. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Because now they don't have to think about it.
Do you know why you're saying the blood on their hands?
Why is that?
Because they know this is a lawsuit.
Oh, dude.
Mm-hmm. This is a lawsuit. Yeah. All they want to do is they want to win now because they can have the lawsuit, but the lawsuit could take a couple of years. All they want is they want to win now and deal with it later.
Dude. It's a fucking mess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's disheartening.
So I'm telling you this is because I talked to OLMS, okay? Mm-hmm. That's the Office of Labor Management Standards. Who covers the election of all the unions. I actually talked to them and got what the rules are, okay? Right. And the rules says that if they break the law, is that we as in members, any members who has to... who branch uses the charges or break their rights, especially freedom of speech, that we have the right to sue the branch and the person
in civil court
for it at a civil court.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe because if we actually get a lawyer and do that, when they're telling us to basically violating our freedom of speech.
Dude, we fucking told them.
We'd win that easy.
Well.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay, if we sue them, we're going to charge them $100,000, $200,000. I don't know. I don't want to take that from our branch because I want to be a union member for our branch. Dude. But the only thing is that sometimes you have to do the hard thing to teach them a lesson.
It's not just that. We aren't taking it from the branch. Mm-hmm. The people who did this mm-hmm. are taking it from the branch.
Yes.
Dude, it's awful.
Because it is illegal of what they just did.
Yeah. It violates the LMRDA.
Because it actually says by the OLMS and the LMRDA said that if the branch makes the illegal decision, that we can sue them.
Yeah. Dude. And the National Labor Relations Board is involved in this as well.
We've talked to NLRB. We've talked to OLMS. We've talked to LMRDA. Yeah. Sorry. LMRDA. Dude. In fact, we've talked to some people in the national and including lots of presidents and vice presidents that I know Alan knows about, and they all agree that what they're doing is wrong, except for somehow our branch and some of their friends don't know the rules whatsoever. All they know is to follow whatever the branch president says. Because you know why?
Why?
He only wants the people that kiss his ass. Kiss the ring is what he wants. Wow. That sounds like somebody that we know so hard, and we know how much of a problem that is for all of our union members. But again, I know you guys, some of those people support them too. So
I'm not going to say too much anymore. So that's the charges against us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then we have, after that, the Article 10 charges against the president.
Mm-hmm.
And two sets of charges get read and a committee gets appointed. So the first charges are read and the committee gets appointed and three people volunteer. And it seems like they seem fine. Mm-hmm. You know, I got no objection with who they picked to be those three people.
Mm-hmm. Which was, one of them was actually first day on the job.
Yeah, it was a CCA, brand new to the union.
First day on the job. Yeah. And came to the union meeting.
Right.
So he was definitely impartial.
Right. And the guy who made the motion for the committee to, you know, the five disinterested committee says like, hey man, this guy's as impartial as you could get. He just got here.
Yeah.
And yeah, the guy wound up stepping up and kudos to that dude for stepping up. And because nobody really knows what they're supposed to do because nobody reads Article 10. Mm-hmm. Why would you?
Yeah.
I read it, but that's because I got a problem.
Yeah.
You know, but no, obviously nobody else reads it.
But here's the issue.
Yeah.
Just like the previous committee that checked up on us, they were never told what the rules were. And the only rules we're told by the secretary is...
Wait. Let's hold off on that. We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay. Well...
All right.
Okay.
Because you're going to talk about what you were told in the parking lot?
It doesn't matter when we say that.
I know, but we're on topic here. Okay. All right. No, fuck it. You know what? Because that's still are the charges against us. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have skipped ahead. That's me. I shouldn't have skipped ahead. Mm-hmm. Finish it up.
Okay. So the problem is that when I was pointing at one of the committee that investigate, I said, hey man, how come you didn't come and talk to me?
Right. Yeah, because they said that all he did was listen to the podcast.
Right.
That was the only investigation.
And the guy goes, we were told to not talk to you.
What? Say that again.
We were told to not talk to you by one of the committee
person. That's what somebody on the committee told Michael tonight.
Then later, I saw another committee member and I talked to him about it. And he goes, well, we were only told to listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
And then I said, oh, but did you notice that when our French president was being charged that our secretary told a new investigator to go and investigate every body?
So we get this three-person committee.
And their friend goes, that's right. They changed that ruling on us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get this three-person committee that includes this guy who's brand new to the state to being a carrier, and do kudos to that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts asking questions like, what am I supposed to do? And the goodest oldest boy gets up there and does a pretty good job of explaining the Article 10 process.
Yeah.
Including summoning witnesses, and you talk to people, and you make sure you talk to all the parties involved.
In which when he told the other committee that was against us, said, oh, you can just listen to the podcast.
What? I don't know who told them that, but dude, how different, you know? Mm-hmm. And so,
but here's
the guy knows.
No matter what, we did not get a due process.
No, dude, not anywhere near.
Mm-hmm. Even if that was something they were creating, whatever the rule is, is that the committee was not told the right way because they were not given the whole the rules of what the committee is supposed to do.
Exactly.
So they failed to fully investigate because of our branch officers.
Yeah. Even the fucking investigation process.
Who is in charge of making sure everything is done correctly?
The president.
Okay. The and who knows president. All the rules?
Well, it should be the branch president.
And the secretary, and the right?
Secretary, yeah.
Oh, but you know what? When the branch president was being charged, who knew all the rules?
Oh, the branch secretary sure knew about Article 10. Sure knew about
it, but
then.
He did not tell that to the nope. committee that was looking at us.
Shifty motherfuckers.
Uh-huh.
Dude. And that's how you know it's dishonest.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, the guy does know what... He's not just yeah. stupid.
But here's one good thing out of all that. I know you didn't see a lot of that.
I did not see a lot. Is that
the guy, the committee guy's friend saw that, yeah, this was bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
The guy who was in favor with the guy, with the... our committee guy, right. which was in favor with our branch president, when he saw that, he said, that is bullshit.
Yeah, it is.
Because now he's like, they're lying to us, and to them too.
I would bet that a lot of the people who voted to convict don't think that it was a proper process. How
mm-hmm.
could they?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's me being a Pollyanna. Mm. I don't know. So there were the two sets of charges against our branch president mm-hmm. That are initiated. And then the one committee, because the charges essentially overlap, is going to investigate both.
Yep.
And so we'll see by next month. We'll see what happens.
Right.
So that's that. So now let's go back and get a little more in depth. I want to talk briefly about my Article 11 appeal of... Go ahead.
I just want to just go over this.
Yeah, please.
Is that last podcast we talked about after the meeting. Was the last one? Yeah, last one. Maybe it was the one before. Where they were trying to pass to pay for the printing company for the ballots.
Oh, yeah. Okay?
Now, here's the thing.
Right.
We did not disagree to not pay for it. We actually our current EVP, she actually withdrew it. So then that is actually right. what happened.
Yeah, because okay? people started asking the tough questions that mm-hmm. the branch officials don't want to answer about mm-hmm. like, well, what did we actually order? Mm-hmm. Did we get who ordered this stuff? Mm-hmm. And he still won't answer those questions.
No. And supposedly, they talked to the owner of the printing company and they felt bad that they made a mistake. Which we don't know for sure because we're not getting it from them. We're getting it from our branch president, who has been lying about the election process and is telling us that, saying the next time they'll give us a discount.
Yeah. Well, he certainly hasn't been forthcoming. If mm-hmm. you count lies of omission as lies, then yeah, those are lies.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, I wrote down what he said because I knew it would be interesting. When I went to investigate, he's talking about going down to the print company to figure out what went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I went down to the print company to find out what went wrong.
By the way, he yeah. changed that story.
Oh, I know.
To saying that, oh, I called them instead. Well, you said you went to go talk to them. Then also now he was on the phone.
He could have done both.
Mm-mm.
But he says, when I went to investigate, I went down there.
Can't keep the story straight.
I went down there and found that the guy's wife passed away. Now, if I remember right, that happened after the ballots had all been printed. So that's mm-hmm. neither here nor there.
He was trying to get the sympathy.
Yeah. Found out that the guy's wife passed away. I left a message and he was nasty with me. He came down here and he was in tears. The guy told me I want to make it right. He did say he would make it right. If we have to run the election again, he'll cut us a deal. There you go. That's the answer of like, oh, how did this all happen? There's no answer in there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, once again, avoiding any... the actual questions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dude. And then somebody asked, I might have been you, Michael, this next go-around, are we going to be able to see the invoices? Because they were kept hidden from us the last time. And, oh, yeah, of course you'd be able to see the invoices.
How about the first time when we asked for it before?
Yeah. Nope. Couldn't see that one because mm-hmm. it had the president's name on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we couldn't see that invoice. Mm-hmm. Dude. The corruption, it knows no end.
So right. Here's the thing. Now, you know, this is my opinion. This is where I saw. One of the biggest disappointment that I think I've ever had while I'm working for the Postal Service, okay, biggest disappointment is that there were 44 people that was okay with violating my freedom of speech.
Yeah, right.
That and your right to due process. That was the most disappointing. And my right to due process.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought this was management tactics, but it's our union tactics also.
Right.
Okay. And so when we talk about, like Corey Wong talks about how we got these good old boys and doing the things that they do. Yep. And now we know for sure, because me and Alan, it happened to us, that they want to be managers, not branch officers to support all members of our branch, all of our union, because they are trying to forcibly to keep us to shut up and not talk about this podcast and have our freedom of speech and violating our constitutional right.
Yeah.
Sorry, I get a little passionate.
It's all right, as you should. So let me ask you a serious question here, and I'm being for real.
Mm-hmm.
What are the chances we're just wrong, and the good old boys are right, and we're just causing problems and being unreasonable?
Zero chance that we're doing anything wrong, because I can say whatever the hell fuck I want to say, because that is the freedom of speech. Okay.
This is what I like about Michael. Yeah.
So,
all right. That's a good answer. Yep.
Now,
yeah. Yes.
If I win the election, I'm the president, and there is definitely, I cannot talk about anybody else and slander anybody else, because I am a leader at that point and right. cannot talk about anybody else and how they are, or how stupid they are, or how they're not this, or I cannot do that as a president.
Yep. All right.
But so, as a union member,
yeah.
Again, I have the, in fact, it's, if anyone wants to go see it, the union administration part of the site on the NALC.org, yeah. literally on there it says member rights.
Yep.
Says.
Yeah, look up NALC Member Bill of Rights.
Yep. What is that? Freedom of speech and freedom of assembly.
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
Because that's the union.
Dude. Okay. So now let's go back to the, we'll go back to the beginning, to the my appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I was pushing back against is the president said, oh, well, you're an appointed steward and your term ended. And so I can't appeal that because he didn't actually make a decision. It's automatic. And when I asked him, well, where is that in the bylaws or the Constitution? He has no answer. And the reason he has no answer is because it doesn't fucking exist.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not a thing. He just made it mm-hmm. up.
In fact, if I remember correctly, looking at the bylaws, it says the term ends on the ones that people are voting.
Right. It specifically says in that part of our bylaws, this section applies to elected people who are elected.
Of officers has a term limit.
Right. And
alternate stewards?
No.
It's not an elected position. No, it's a position.
Yeah.
So therefore, there is no term limit.
And
because any smart people would know that, only the stupid person that may not know that. And the only one that didn't seem to know that answer by reading it are our secretary and the president. I don't know. If they don't know how to read that correctly, maybe they shouldn't be the officers.
Yeah. And
because they're supposed to be knowing how to read these things.
Dude, and so once again, I'm out there in the audience reading from the fucking bylaws, reading from the Constitution. And when I asked the president, where does it say in the bylaws that there's a term limit for appointed alternates, and his answer was, it's not in there.
Mm-hmm.
He openly fucking admitted mm-hmm. that this rule does not exist.
And the only thing that he used excuse is that this is not a life term, and all term expires, and so therefore this expires too.
It's this fucking straw man. I never claimed it was a lifetime appointment. Mm-hmm. He can end it at any time, and I can end it at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And if he ends it, I have the right to appeal that decision, because Article 11 gives me the right to appeal any decision of the president. And he's still standing up there and telling me that I don't have the right to appeal it because he didn't make a decision. Give me a fucking break.
Yeah.
So a while back, I'm at my station, and a uniform vendor, who's one of the old timers in our branch, that's who becomes the uniform vendors, asks me, hey man, did you go to the last steward meeting? And I think it was just his way of asking me about getting fired without having to openly ask me. And I said, no, as a matter of fact, I just recently found out that I'm not a steward anymore. And we talk for a little while, and I tell him the pretext that our branch president used to get rid of me. And he goes, hey, don't quote me on this, but dude, I've never heard of that. And then that motherfucker stood up there at the meeting and said, yeah, of course, everybody knows that at the end of your term, nobody could be in for more than 3 years. That lying motherfucker stood up there and said the exact opposite of what he said to me in person.
Because he said, don't quote me.
Yeah. And I didn't quote him because I got fucking integrity. And mm-hmm. he stood up there and
we're finding out they have zero integrity.
Yeah. Same dude. Okay.
No honor.
Yeah. Same dude who I bought uniforms from and said, yeah, man, I never heard of that before.
So this is something.
And then he stands up there like everybody fucking knows it.
So this is where I was talking to, I think, Alan and a few other people before. And I said, this is the mob mentality. And the reason they learn about this mob mentality because of Hoffa and all that stuff that was big in Las Vegas, I'm sure a lot of people know. And we used to have a mob running our union branch. Most people don't know that, but we actually had mob people running our branch. And so back in the day, of course, all supervisors would go, yes, sir, whatever came from our union, which at the time when that happened, they did whatever the branch or our union said. Well, they all got into jail or they got themselves killed or whatever that reason might be that no, they are no longer in our branch. Mm. But their way of mentality, some of it, strong arm mentality and trying to steal the election or do whatever that they want to do. They were all probably taught, passed down through our good old boys and how to do all of that. And they're using all those tactics to do it. And which is very dirty, which I kind of warned Alan.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. True.
So I make this appeal. And to me, the strongest part of my appeal was the petition. I went around to the carriers at my station and had them sign a petition that said they want me to be their steward. And guys, every single carrier at my station signed that petition. Every fucking carrier, except for the president's girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Every fucking one of them signed that petition. They want me to be their steward. Their alternate steward, they don't even have to pay. I'm volunteering to do this. And I'm like, dude, I don't even need to make an argument. This petition says everything. The will of the members. Man, ain't no harm here. And
they still didn't give a crap.
Yep. And that vote went against me.
Well, in reality, I told Alan afterwards, I said, hey, man, we should ask for division. He's like, no, and it looks like they voted against me. I'm going, no, man.
It sounded
all
like
all their friends voted to yes, and they yelled loud, and they were all in the front so that only our branch press couldn't hear it. And so he's like, no, you take defeat sometimes too easily.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a very good loser, always have been, and I got a lot of practice at it. Like when I was going through youth sports, my team was never good on youth sports. When I was in high school, our team wasn't good. Throughout the, you know, after the Super Bowl run in the 90s, I've been a Bills fan the whole lot of time, and they have not been good. I'm very used to losing, and I'm good at it. I'm a terrible winner. And when I win, I celebrate. But
if you don't win that often, of course you're going to celebrate like
that. Yeah, dude, you don't get these little sparks of joy.
See,
and that's what I thought this podcast tonight was going to be.
The difference with me is when I lose, I get angry so that most of the time when I lose, I go, okay, we're going to play again.
Dude, I was more...
We're going to play again, and we're going to play again until I learn a way to win so that I can win the next time better and better and better. Yeah. That's how I've always been done, and that's why when I fight, he saw me today.
Oh, yeah.
I do not give up.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, even after that. So after that first loss, then it hit all of us like, oh, dude, the audience is stacked against us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that should have been a pretty easy victory, and it got lost. This does not bode well for the rest of the night. And sure enough, it would continue to go that way for the rest of
the
night.
And they were pouring all the things they wanted to pass was going through.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And I got defeated. And not Michael, man. He kept raising his hand, kept, you know, taking it to him. I credit where it's due, man. You're a fucking fighter.
Yeah. Hey, and that is why management at my station are scared of me.
Yeah.
All the managers I dealt with in Las Vegas are scared of me. Right. I actually had a manager says, I'll never go back to Michael's station as long as he's there. Okay, I've gotten so many things where management does not want to deal with me anymore at all because every time they want to argue, most of them are losing, including some of the managers. They thought they were beating every stewards until they get to my station, and they just put their tail in between their legs and run away from me.
All right,
okay, and and so that's what I've been. But here's the thing: I am now not qualified to be a steward, and this is what our branch president says because. Yeah. I'm not cooperative. I'm not I'm not agreeable.
Think about that, guys. You've heard Michael come on here and give this incredible advice, give this great analysis. You know he's a very good grievance handler. He's talked about an arbitration victory.
Mm-hmm.
And our branch president said that he's not qualified
to be a steward.
Yeah.
Because I'm not agreeable.
Right.
I'm too argumentative.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You're argumentative, but that's what a steward should be.
If he's looking for qualification, those are the top two things you should be looking for over from a steward.
Exactly. Yeah, dude. All right, so let's go back and we'll dive a little deeper into the third miscarriage of justice of the evening, which is the election appeals.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, we get to this section. There's four election appeals. And again, I thought that it's going to be this interesting decision for the branch of who's going to write the branch's appeal. And it do.
Actually, you already mentioned that, saying that our branch president is going to write that.
Right, that he's going to write the appeal.
I thought it was the other thing you're going to mention, which
what
is
was the other thing?
Re-election deferring.
Uh-huh.
That he made his own decision by himself.
That
when we read that letter saying that,
that
the
branch
has
decides.
To make that decision and not our branch president by himself.
And I brought it up that, hey, this decision's supposed to be made by the branch, and he just shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And at that point,
and just went, right to the
right
next
through.
Item.
Yep.
And said, and then I'm trying to raise my hand and wouldn't even answer to anything I was saying.
Yeah. Yep. So we tried to stick up for due process there as well, or proper procedure that it's up to the branch. And
here's the thing. Yep. I'm not agreeable because I'm not listening to the president. I'm sorry. The letter is from our national president, and he's not agreeable with our national president.
Dude. Fucking wild. And again, the mentality of his appeal was the one that said, the one our president filed was the one that said, don't redo the nominations. And so now we get these four appeals that all say, don't redo the nominations. And the fucking rebuttal is going to be written by the branch president who says, don't redo the nominations. Mm-hmm. And this, both sides of the argument are supposed to go to the Committee on Appeals so that both sides are fairly represented.
So
what the fuck fairness is that?
Right. So only thing that I can say is break the due process here and maybe send our versions and send it. Saying that, hey, we didn't get a vote.
Oh, dude. Okay, so this is interesting. In the election rules, the branch has 20 days to prepare its written reply. And 21.44 says the original of the appeal, all supporting material, and the reply of the branch must be sent via certified mail to the chairperson, Committee on Appeals at NALC headquarters in Washington, D.C. At the same time, a copy of the reply must be sent to the member who is appealing. So I think I can send my own. I can send my own reply of the branch. I am a member of the branch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In fact, I can add my name to it. Now we're multiple members of the branch.
Yeah, dude. Now you've got something.
So now we can get other people to sign off on it. Now we got multiple and from branch 2502. That right there is a branch.
Oh, dude. Speaking of getting multiple people to sign off, I got to get this off my chest. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I will often in these cases, I will kick myself for not saying something like when we were defending ourselves. But I take cold comfort tonight in knowing that it wouldn't have made any fucking difference.
Nah.
But in this case, like one of the knocks against Michael and me is that we talked about the charges and we got people to sign to co-sign the charges before they were presented.
And their answer is saying, we can't do that. We cannot get other members to sign because somehow they says that that's breaking the bylaws, but without actually reading the bylaws at.
Right. They can't cite what that breaks. And I'd like to point out that recent guest on Classes of Mail, Michael Karaf, has charges pending against Brian Renfro that have like 3,000
members
on them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're going to tell me that
our national business agent don't know those rules?
Yeah, exactly. And if I write charges, like I got to just keep it to myself in my basement and I can't tell anybody else about it, give me a fucking break.
Mm-hmm.
Dude. So that was the branch meeting tonight.
Yeah.
I thought I was good. I got that letter from Renfro yesterday. I was so goddamn excited. Taking my victory lap. Oh, dude, look at this. Man, things are finally going
our
way.
But one thing, though, is
I
think our branch president
knew
about it, but nobody else did. Because I don't think even our secretary knew about it.
That might be.
Is that once I mentioned it, he was like, what? And then he was like, he's trying to read it. And then ran to our branch president. What the hell is this letter that are they talking about?
Dude.
Then they opened I think they went in the office. And I think they opened it to look at it, to see what it was.
Nice.
So,
dude.
And you know why that they didn't read it?
Why?
Because our two members from Crossroads, when our president, executive VP, and the VP showed at my station, and I one of members, and Jonathan, decided to go into the our steward office because I have a steward office. I had steward office, by the way.
Had, yeah.
And
disgraced former steward.
Yeah, but now the new stewards took take over, and that's their office. And I told them, make sure that management cannot take it because you have past practice now. Yeah, but anyway, so they went in there to talk, and they talked about, hey, didn't you get a letter from NALC? And then and Paul wouldn't, our branch president wouldn't answer. Then finally goes, yeah, I have the letter, but I didn't open it yet. Means they had the letter and decided not to open it
because
it, probably knowing what they're going to say.
Yeah, because it says in that letter that it's the right
Do you know why they didn't open the letter? Yeah. Because he talked to our national president, Brian Renfro. He probably didn't like his answer, so he didn't want to open that letter.
Yeah, he doesn't have to act on it. Mm-hmm. Right.
So at the meeting, he was lying, saying, oh, our president says this, this, and this. So why is it something completely different than the letter that we got from our national president?
Dude.
So you know that at that point, when he's talking about somebody else, a hearsay, when you have the actual letter means, as shop steward, the proof is in the pudding, right?
Right, right. Yeah, and he never showed,
he know, never what showed he what he said,
right.
But we had the proof. But oh my gosh, we still lost.
So okay. Democracy is great until it becomes mob rule. Mm-hmm. And that's why you have rights that are ensconced in things like the Constitution. But so then obviously, what happens when the Constitution is disregarded?
Yeah. Obviously, our fight is not over.
Right.
We're still going to fight.
Yep.
Okay. And what's great is that our previous election chair said he was his feelings were so hurt that he wanted to punish us of 6 months of suspension for any union activities that's including the election. And people actually, that was actually against us at the point, they were like, wait a second, that seems a little excessive. And so, and then they kind of like, oh crap, I guess maybe this might be too much. And they started kind of rolling back on the punishment a bit. So I think the people are starting to, some of them, the people that was for them, a couple of them were, I think, like, what the hell did we just vote on?
Yeah, I don't know how you could vote guilty on that with a clean conscience.
No, you know, there's no clean conscience on that.
There's no one who could look at that process and think that it was fair and reasonable.
Mm-hmm. And oh, you know what was great? Is that they were voting on the stuff, and I said, and all those people that are voting to stop us from talking. And I said, you guys, just to let you guys know, it's not that you guys are doing this to us. You're voting to stop us from having freedom of speech.
Right.
So I'm just want you guys to know that you guys are voting to stop people having freedom of speech. So if one of you guys, something happens and they tell you that you can't talk, good luck with that, because then now you won't have freedom of speech because they'll do that to you too.
That's the precedent.
Okay. And you know what was another great thing?
What's
sorry,
that?
I know
time's getting up. That's all right.
Another great thing.
I'm off. Tomorrow's my SDO.
Yeah. Is that, I'm sorry, who said that? So one of the officers goes, yeah, we have the freedom of speech. And I go, that's right, freedom of speech.
Yeah, dude. He did say that. Yeah, one of the officers during one of the back and forth.
Yeah.
Said, well, you've got your freedom of speech. Oh, funny how you think so.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Then he looked like, oh, crap.
Dude, there was a funny moment, too, when they were looking for investigators to investigate our president.
Mm-hmm.
And the vice president's up there. And she goes, yeah, we're looking for somebody who's impartial, who can invest. And I shot my hand I did not get selected.
Well, they're not really impartial. They're trying to find their own friends.
Right, right. But, dude, only three people raised their hand, so you get what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, the new guy, raised his hand under protest.
On his first day.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, dude.
But, hey, guys. So here's one thing that I was talking to Ellen about, okay? Is that we want to create a group called Caucus. And I don't know,
The Reform Caucus.
Yeah, so rank and file.
2502 Reform Caucus.
Yep. Rank and file Reform Caucus to start here in Vegas. And maybe a group of us can get together maybe once a month and talk about what's going on in our branch and see if we can fix anything. Just like a BFN, you know, Building and Fighting NALC.
Yeah, when Chris Pennick was on Classes Mail, he talked about it.
Yeah, and maybe we need to start something like that here in Vegas because right now with the group that they got at the Good Old Boys, or think that they can do whatever they want to anybody else. But here's the thing, guys. If they can do this to me, and they can do this to Alan, they can do this to anybody else. Yep. And if any of you guys want to run for office, and this is the same thing you want to go through, they're scaring us by scaring all of you guys to saying they can take your freedom of speech away at any time they want. Do you guys really want that? No, I don't think so. Okay, so please, you can email the classes of mail.
Yep, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yep.
And or you can call me at 702-724-6355.
Nice.
And so for people who is in Las Vegas, who wants to get together and has a group and maybe meet up at some bar, maybe, hell, we go in Vegas and we have a lot of bars here.
Yeah, that's true.
And including we have lots of restaurants open till for 24 hours a day.
Yeah, dude, like the Pepper Mill.
One of the best things, there is a freaking Korean barbecue, which I love. We can do that even, and then get together and do all that. I don't know, whatever it is. Maybe we should all get together and talk about what we can do for our branch, because with the people that we got, they're in favor of management, and that is a problem.
That's it, guys. That's our story. And I will, as always, keep you posted on how things develop. Michael and I actually recorded an educational episode. I don't even remember what it was about anymore. And it's just sitting in the can waiting for shit to not be crazy so we can release it. So I will leave you guys with a little bit of a song from a band called Manowar that I grew up with. And they are the reason I got interested in heavy metal music. Because they are about as metal as it gets. They wear leather and everything. So, this is what's to come, guys.
And freedom.